Value is the close association is for those who have committed to each other. And unless you've committed to each other, you don't associate closely with someone else. And that's why in prasadam, in kirtan, or even just sitting arrangement. I mean, here it's one thing, but if it was just devotees, you would. Although, if these were all Muslims, the women would be sitting in the back and the men would be sitting in the front. Same reason. When we have class, ladies sit on one side, men sit on the other side.
Is it hard for the devotees to accept it? For instance, when they are only in the beginning procession, Krishna consciousness, they are just beginner bhaktas or beginners. So is it hard
for them to accept
these rules? Sitting together?
No doubt. For some people, more or less. Some devotees may have difficulty in relating to these values, but because there's logic and reason, and because there's a good argument why it should be like that, generally it's not a major issue. It's not that someone doesn't become a Hare Krishna devotee because they sit on different sides of the room.
For
the deities, must be 80%,
and
the pujaris are all, 80% of them are ladies. In the big kitchen, it's a little more difficult for them
so.
To be.
Why is it so?
Huh?
So in the pujari, the great majority of devotees or cooks are women, but in the big kitchen, there are men. So why is it so?
Because there's so heavy things to move around. There are big pots to move. There's such big weight.
Yeah. Containers.
Yeah, so it's generally, although sometimes they do every week, each pujari, girls as well, they go into the big kitchen to cook, but usually the men have to move things around for them, because when you get to those big quantities, then it becomes too heavy for women to move. Otherwise, generally, women will be better cooks than men. But in quantity cooking like that, that becomes the problem. It's just that it's a physically demanding job. And that becomes a problem for some of the men as well. It's over a long period of time, you know, lifting up big pots that weigh 100 kilos or something and moving them around. Or when you have to make chapatis or bread, then you have to knead huge quantities. And, you know, we don't have machinery. We do everything by hand. So everything's quantity. When you make curd, when you make cheese, then you make it in big quantity like this, and it's very difficult for women to move that, to do that. That's the only reason. So they have a problem with that. Otherwise, the type of cooking that we'll do is, and when they do go in, is that they direct, they spice, they instruct, and then the men move things around.
And what's your favorite spice?
Well, spices go in combination. In other words, one spice alone doesn't. Usually, you have to mix spices.
For instance,
garam masala. garam masala is a mixture of different masalas. So the real question is, what's the favorite mixture of spices? That I'd have to be a really good cook to tell you. But my favorite thing is salt. You can do without any spice, but you can't do without salt.
And is it healthy?
Huh?
Salt, is it healthy or?
No. Well, in little quantities, but in large quantities or too often, it's not healthy. But still, it's very addictive. Here's a doctor. You can ask him whether it's healthy or not. Itt vagy egy egyetemista. Itten kutatást csinál farmon. Ez Yashomati Nandan, ő egy orvos, és pakta is. Mész?
Csak azért értem, hogy elköszönjek, mert elmegyek most már, igen.
Oké, láttad Maharajot?
Igen. Én úgy látom, hogy egy kicsit elindult a javulás útján.
Igen.
Csak nem szabad, hogy elengedjem, mert el is fejlettem a nevetrabonat. Tehát, hogy már itt haladtam a baktáktól, hogy elég sokat mászkál most meg.
Hát most itt van Indi Gymnasium, van valakivel angolul beszélni. Másképp itt nem tud senkivel kommunikálni.
Igen. Mondtam, hogy majd megpróbálom valahogy megoldani, hogy lejöjjek, csak most a jövő héten Japánba utazom egy konferenciára.
Japánra?
Igen, igen. Csütörtökön, de csak néhány napra, és akkor csak így kiesik az a hét, de hogy majd megpróbálok lejönni, hogy ne.
Other interesting things about cooking and eating and Prasadam, which I left out, so I don't know. Other things which you want to say?
There's many. There are Jagannath. You know Jagannath form of Krishna?
Yeah. I've heard.
So Jagannath form of Krishna is particularly form of Krishna who is really related to Prasadam. Jagannath in India, in Jagannath Puri, they feed him 56 times a day. So if you figure that he's awake 20 hours a day, it means every 20 minutes he's eating. And they have a kitchen, which is bigger than our temple, bigger than the whole temple. And they have 2,000 cooks. Not, they don't cook all the time, but there's 2,000 cooks who cook. And the tradition there is prasadam. So pilgrims and tourists come there, and they usually feed like, you know, 10, 20,000 people at a time. Huge, 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 big quantities of food. And Jagannath Puri is really the culture of prasadam. And they have very, very strict rules for how you can eat. For instance, you can't even eat on a table. You have to sit on the floor. You can't even sit on a mat because it's considered disrespectful to the Mahaprasadam. And they have very, very strict recipes that go back thousands of years. They won't
and
cook anything.
They cannot change that.
They don't change it. They won't offer anything new. They don't even use potatoes. They don't use potatoes. They don't use tomatoes because all of these come from the West. They use traditional foods, traditional spices, cooked same recipe. We go there and that same. I've been going there for maybe 35 years, and the same preparation tastes the same every time. And so Jagannath Mahaprasadam is very, very famous, and anywhere all over India people will respect it. And when you tell them this is Jagannath Prasadam, because here Krishna, when he comes in this form of Jagannath, he's coming especially to reciprocate in the form of prasadam, with prasadam. So that's the exchange, loving exchange that he has, prasadam. And then there's a lot of things that relate to that. And there's so many other things in terms of prasadam. Here's Krishna also, Radha Shamasundar, and they also have their, but there's not so specialized. We have Jagannath also when we take him on the Rath Yatra cart. There's also specialty about Rath Yatra in that on Rath Yatra anyone can offer to Krishna. Only then, but anyone can offer. So they can be initiated or uninitiated. Anyone who wants to bring something to him, cooked or uncooked, it'll be offered to Jagannath. Whereas otherwise it's very strict, that only very strictly initiated devotees can do that. But at this time, when he comes out of the temple, then he'll accept from anyone.
And every kind of preparations, so I think there's a limit.
It has to be within, you know, it can't be meat, it can't have onions and so on, but otherwise anything. Anything. Even someone wants to, if they want to offer vegetarian lecho or pizza or
all. Like lecho.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. What else?
I don't know about Indian stories, because I haven't heard of Indian stories, so I don't know.
Stories in India, you mean about prasadam?
Yeah.
There's another aspect, which is that maybe now we can sit in the sun a little, because now it's cool here, isn't it? Not only generally in India, deities have a characteristic prasadam. In other words, the deities are known and associated with some type of prasadam, some special type of prasadam. For instance, in Jaipur, there's Govindaji. He has laddu. Laddu is...
I know this.
You know laddu.
And I like it.
So, people will know that Govindaji is laddu. Jagannath has this different type of pastry. Maybe you've seen here, it's flat and long. Some devotees call them Jagannath tongue, but that's not really. And that's the type of prasadam that preserves. It stays for a long time, and for months, and that's distributed, and it's characteristic of that deity. There may be different types of foodstuffs. Radha Shamasundar doesn't have any specific prasadam. It's a tradition that usually the devotees, usually the pujaris do it, make the tradition. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes the deity can actually ask for it. He can say, I like this and you should make me this. And because the deity wants that, then it becomes famous because that's the deity's favorite. So these type of kaja, it's called, what Jagannath eats, kaja. Jagannath likes that kaja, and because everyone knows that Jagannath likes it, therefore everyone eats it. Kaja, and that's become his, he's become known by that. In another place called Raymuna, there's a Gopinath, and he's called, his name is Shirchur Gopinath. Shir is condensed milk. So he's known because he's offered condensed milk. And that's what people go there when they ask for prasadam, they ask for that condensed milk. You mean Govardhan Puja when we offered all that food?
The sweet.
Yeah, Govardhan Puja is there's so many different types of food that's being offered, and the main thing there is on Govardhan Puja is quantity. So because Govardhan is very big, so you're meant to offer hill-sized quantities of food. And an aspect of prasadam, which is an economic aspect, is that this offering of foodstuffs to Krishna, Krishna talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita, it ensures economic stability. Krishna says, Deva Bhavayatani Da Te Deva Bhavayantava. He says that there's a process of sacrifice or yajna. Ishtan Bhogan Vyo Deva Dasyante Yajna Bhavika. That means that whatever you cook, you have to offer to Krishna. Why? There's at least the ideal is that you offer it from love. But if you don't offer it from love, then at least you should offer it out of duty. Because the things that you've cooked, where did it come from? Yeah. So it comes from him. Therefore, you have to acknowledge that at least. To thank him. It's like we live in a country, we have to pay taxes. So you pay taxes, why? Because you get services from the government. You can't think, well, why should I bother paying the government? I'll get it anyway. But they can't supply. So you get water, but you only get water if you pay water tax. If everyone stops paying water tax, then the water department can't give you water. So there has to be some kind of reciprocation. Similarly, Krishna provides us with water, with grains, with vegetables, with fruit, with so many other things. He provides us these things, but we have to actually reciprocate. We need to acknowledge that. If we don't acknowledge it, then Krishna says, then you're a thief. You're taking something, and fine, he's not like a government. He has unlimited resources. But without at least some kind of acknowledgement, then you're being dishonest. And that acknowledgement is part of a civilized society. As long as you do that, there won't be any scarcity. But when you stop doing that, there'll be scarcity. Just like now in the world, there's scarcity of food. People aren't poor, but there's still not enough food. So why? Because they're not observing this process of sacrifice. So Krishna says, yajna dasya bhavita. Actually, this process of offering food to Krishna, whereby he accepts it and becomes prasadam, is a sacrifice. And our lives are meant to be sacrifice. We're meant to focus our lives in such a way that everything that we do is in recognition of the fact that all the basic ingredients come from God. Our ability to cook comes from Him. Our ability to eat comes from Him. If He doesn't let you digest food, you're not going to digest it. Because you're not in charge of your stomach, he is. So, for all of these things to actually work properly, there has to be this type of proper recognition, at least out of duty. Duty is the minimum. Better out of love.
From duty, but then from our love.
If you don't have love, then you do it out of duty. So you may not want to pay taxes, but you have to pay it anyway out of duty. Better than that is wanting to pay your taxes, and then better than that is liking to pay your taxes. But whatever, you got to pay. One way or another, you have to pay. How long have I been a vegetarian?
So interesting. It occurred to me just, you know.
A long time. I've been a vegetarian since I've been 18. And I'm 60 now.
This is a great time. This is a great time.
Actually, it's a shame that I wasn't a vegetarian before, but... Are you a vegetarian?
Almost vegetarian.
That's good. Almost means?
Almost means I eat fish. Unfortunately, many fish. And onion and egg.
And?
Egg.
Egg.
Egg. And drink many milk. And eat many curries and eat many vegetables, but I eat fish. Because I live on the coast of Lake Balaton, and my whole family fishes. And
the fish, the fishermen
go fishing. Yeah.
This is
a hobby. Just a hobby. And I know this is a poor thing, but it makes many conflicts between us. So
yeah.
It's not good. I want to move out from this family, but this is not the right time because I'm a student now, and it's not a good time.
You need to just be able to communicate, and you know, family means love, and love means being able to accommodate different values. This is your belief. The belief is that we should live in the world with committing minimum violence, erusha. And being a vegetarian, if for no other reason, is a principle of non-violence. Why should I commit unnecessary violence to others? Actually, even being a vegetarian is violent. Because when you take grains, you're also taking a life. But there's a difference. There's a difference when you go to Arato festival, when you just harvest wheat, and a different thing is when you go into a slaughterhouse. So the question then is, which is the violence that God allows, and which is it that He doesn't allow? And that's why Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam. He says a leaf, flower, fruit. We use flowers, so flowers is violence. Because it's also a living entity. But still, that violence Krishna allows, because in this world you can't live without violence. When you breathe, there's violence. When you drink water, there's so many bacteria, they also die. So you can't avoid violence. But that type of violence, Krishna accepts, and when you offer it, you become free from the karma. So being a vegetarian is still sinful.
It's not enough.
No, it's when the vegetarian offers his food to Krishna, that's when it becomes karma-free. Because because it's inevitable. You have to live like that in this world, and that's how you become free from karma. But you, because you can't offer meat, you can't become free from that karma. Krishna won't accept fish, so then you have to eat your karma. Anyway, but for family, at least reasonable family, then they'll accept, all right. They may have a different value, but because they love you, they'll further accept your values. I mean, if they've already gone to the extent of accepting that you're not eating other meat, if they're accepting that you're not eating chicken or beef or other things, then what's the problem with fish?
The problem is that we have many fish at home, many, many fish. And we just eat fish.
Give it to the neighbors. You don't have to be a fish factory. You just have to eat the fish just because there's no one to eat it. Anyway, that's... But that's something that you need to work out. Anyway, it'll happen. It'll happen. What else?
I don't know.
You're going to do a paper on this, on prasadam?
Yeah. Prasadam, 100 page long paper. Yeah. It's a brief project. Can I ask you some questions later, for instance, in a half year or after 1 year, or I don't know. So if you are here, then can I ask you later some questions?
You just have to, just communicate, let me know,
And I promise you that I will change this.
You will change the fish.
Okay. I promise you.
Okay.
I promise.
Well, fine. I'm happy. What about chanting? Do you have any time to chant?
I tried it twice in my life with Mataji called Linda. Linda and Eva. They are working in the garden, in this vegetable garden.
Yeah, Linda.
Yeah.
Melinda.
Melinda, and one is Yvette, who is some Sankirtan, I don't know, in London, I don't know. And,
She's here now, she's down there in the kitchen.
But Yvette Mataji.
Oh, Yvette,
She's a young one, a young lady. And she's in doing some Sankirtan, I don't know, And I've tried it, and, it was okay, but I have to learn a lot. I have to immerse into this culture, and first I have to encounter the meaning of prasadam in this community for the devotees, for things like that. And as I get further, then I should try it and work on it.
That's fair.
And I like being here. It makes me happy, and I like devotees. I have a very good relationship with Brijbasi and Radha Kund Mataji.
Mm-hmm.
And like them, and they like me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay.
Good. Yes. I'll go also, and then we can talk next time.
Okay.
You should consider this, in Krishna consciousness, we have this expression, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Ruchati, that taking prasadam is service to Krishna by the tongue. Sharirar Avidyajal Jatendriya Tarka, we serve Krishna with our tongue. It's a service. Accepting prasadam. So it's not eating, as I mentioned before, it's worship. It's a form of worship. That requires a certain consciousness also. And by worshipping, by taking prasadam, because with the tongue you taste food, so by eating prasadam you actually develop an appetite for also chanting Hare Krishna, because that's also an activity that you do with the tongue. So, yeah, if you continue your interest in prasadam and tasting prasadam, like, then you'll naturally develop a taste for chanting also.
I'm very fond of it.
Yeah, because it will awaken the desire within the tongue.
Today, if I can remember where we had a Prabhupada subject, and I like it very much.
There are so many things.
Yeah.
And it becomes addictive. Okay, now I think we'll go to temple room, and then if we can talk again, I'm happy to do that in the future.
And can I ask you that?
You
can
want
you
this?
Can you continue? Give us a record.